welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 4 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 28. Let's get started.
Okay, well.
Woohoo, we're back.
If we're back. Sounding kind of mellow, it's because we reclining while we're doing our podcast this time, so.
That's the only way to podcast.
That's right. Okay.
The only way to podcast. Welcome back, everyone, for season 4.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
We have been waiting for this, and I think it was pretty good, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Okay, what are we going to do first?
First, I want to start off by shouting out to some of our great listeners who've been communicating with us the past, 9 months since
yes.
True Blood went off.
Yeah.
And just wanted to say hello to Holly in Dallas.
Great.
She wrote in about our new season of True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Driftwood, Terry, Sarah, and Tim. I wanted to actually read a couple of emails from, or one of the emails from Sarah and one from Tim.
Okay.
Sarah wrote and said, "My sisters are back.
Yeah.
I found your podcast in December and have been listening to your seasons 2 and 3 recaps at work like a madwoman trying to make it through. I've probably listened to every episode at least 20 times.
Wow.
And my husband is probably tired of me quoting Miss J every day."
Go ahead, girl.
"Anyhow, I have never been more excited for a show's return as I am for True Blood.
Yep.
I won't get into the books, but this season is set to be heavy on the Eric, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished listening to the Sister Speak preview and have watched all of the show previews, and I must say, if Lafayette is thrown into the basement by Pam, it appears, for messing with my Eric, he deserves what he gets. You don't mess with my hot, sexy Viking. But I guess we'll find out when it happens. In terms of Sookie, I wish she would have taken a bite of the glow fruit.
Mm-hmm.
If she's still anything like season 3 Sookie, I wouldn't have missed her.
Mm-hmm.
Sisters, I can't wait to go through the season together. Mrs. Northman."
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Sarah, for that email. That is hilarious, Mrs. Northman.
Mrs. Northman.
Well, you know what? He's going to have to divorce me first, though. I love Eric. He is just too fine.
Yes, he is. Okay, and before we get started with our recap, another great email from Tim.
Hey, Tim.
And Tim says, "Hey, sisters K and J. I'm just writing to let you know that when your feed suddenly sprang to life the other day, I gave a little shriek. I'm an Australian 37-year-old father of 2, and even I was not immune to squealing like a 1960s teenage girl with a beehive at a Beatles concert."
All right, now.
"So glad that you're both back. You have been sorely missed. Living over on the other side of the world, again, I won't be able to join in on the conversation as I'll hold on to the podcast until a relevant episode airs over here.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that I can't wait to hear all about your take on the show. And I so get that squee moment every time a new podcast gets downloaded.
Yay.
I'm also hoping that we hear what's been happening to your regular contributors like Mr. J.
Yep.
Paco the Cat.
Don't get me laughing
and
again.
He says, "And with Paco the Cat, when you two read out that first letter from Paco the Cat, I was listening while driving. Big mistake. And I swear I was laughing so much that I had to concentrate on A, breathing, B, not running the car off the side of the mountain, and C, getting home with my pants still dry." And of course, I would love to hear, like to hear from Idris.
Oh, God.
"I looked up the origins of the name Idris on Wikipedia, and I have it on good authority. It's pronounced Frank."
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
"There are loads of other regular contributors that I've missed, but I can't wait to hear from them all, too.
Oh, man.
So wishing you all the best for the next 12 episodes. Please give as long a recap as you want." Oh, sorry, Tim. Sister J, knock yourself out. "I sincerely hope for your sakes that Tara has resolved that hair issue." "Fine, Tara. Your mother turned her back on you. The love of your life slaughtered. You've been held prisoner by a vampire, but I've had bad weeks too, and I don't use it as an excuse to make my hair look like that. If I learned anything in 2010, it's that there ain't no black girl gonna have no center part in her hair a la Sister J.
That's right.
I was in the shower when that revelation came to me. So, whoo, no accidents there either.
Oh, Lord.
He says he's off to find out when True Blood premieres there in Australia and to practice his impersonations of both of us from a sister's point of view. All the best, Tim.
Thank you, Tim, for that
email.
We love
awesome.
It. We love it. And, you know, even though it airs in Australia like later, please send us your thoughts, you know, what you think of the different episodes and stuff. And, you know, just for our listeners, just in case you want to know what Tim's talking about with Paco the Cat, go to our episode 25.
Yes, it's towards the end.
Towards the end, and it's hilarious. So, you know, but anyway.
I go back and listen every once
in
a while.
When I need a good laugh, yeah. Then I go back and
listen.
And
it still cracks me up as much as when it started. That was so funny.
That was so funny, but anyway, okay.
Okay, so. Thank you guys for that feedback before the show started. We are really looking forward to this, and let's go ahead and start with what we thought.
Okay.
Now, just a refresher from our sneak preview podcast.
Okay, yeah.
We decided that we're not going to do a full episode recap each week because that's a little bit labor intensive. So we're just going to basically just kind of talk through what we think about the episode. We'll probably end up talking about the whole episode anyway, but we're just not going to have the formal recap section.
And probably not in chronological order either, so.
Oh, yeah, we'll be jumping around.
Yeah, we'll be jumping around, so. I thought the episode was very good. There's one thing in the episode, though, like I told some other people when we discussed it in my office. I like the whole episode, but I'm really, really, really upset about one thing. And I didn't like it.
Okay.
And that is, I cannot reconcile the fact that Bill is a king of Louisiana. I don't like that. I want Bill to suffer or do something.
That's the one thing that you can't, reconcile.
I know. No,
this episode.
Hey, I loved everything else. I loved everything else. But I did not like the fact that Bill is the king of Louisiana. Because, you know, with all that shady shit he did last season, no, he needs some consequences.
His consequence, you know, I think what we're supposed to believe at this point is the fact that he can't have who he loves, which is Sookie.
Oh,
but, that's not enough.
No,
but,
that's not enough.
Okay, let's go back to the finale from season 3.
Uh-huh.
It ended with Bill and Queen Sophie Ann
getting ready
doing
to fight.
Their Matrix battle, which I couldn't stand, but doing the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're supposed to believe at this point is that he won, and so now he's the king of Louisiana.
Not necessarily. It could have been that he married her. And because she, even though she was the queen of Louisiana, but he married her, so therefore he's the king of Louisiana, and she's still around, just like King Russell was going to do.
Well, he did marry her.
And then, are we going to find out who's the king of Mississippi then, since Russell's in the ground under a building?
Well, someone would have taken his place. Now, I don't know if they're going to go there.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll see Russell this season, so we'll have to go there at some point. But in my thought with that, at first I was like, so we're going to jump around a little bit. But that girl, the witch, which her name, all we got from her name was Miss Pelham.
Her name is Kate.
That's right. Kate Pelham, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So when they have that scene with her walking up and she's like, I'm here to see the king.
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, shit, Russell's back? That's the first thing I thought of. And it seemed to me when she was walking up, it looked kind of like Russell's house because it was neat and clean. Because the last time we saw Bill's house.
But the foyer.
Different. But before we, you know, the last time we saw Bill's house, it was all chip paint and it was all crummy looking. The last time we saw him and Jessica in the house.
Okay. So then, but 12 months have passed, though.
Exactly. But so this, I'm just telling you my initial thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So then when she walks in, I'm like, well, no, that's not as big as King Russell's house.
It isn't.
So it's not his house. And when she said, curtsied or did whatever her little bow thing, and they panned the picture to Bill.
I hated that.
What the heck?
I hated that.
Well, I didn't hate it.
I hated that. I want him to have some damn consequences.
Well, we haven't seen it yet. It's only the first episode.
But I figured it was something like that because he was ordering Eric around. And Eric had to obey.
Yes, okay.
So I figured it was something like that. And I thought, dang.
Well, it had to be because when him and Eric ran up to Suki and he's like, Eric, they need you at Fantasia. And Eric's like, oh, yeah, whatever. And he says, you need to go. And Eric says, okay, it looks like I need to go. And did you see the look Suki gave?
Yeah.
She blinked and was like,
Let's get to Suki. She got on my damn nerves. And I'll tell you why. This stupid, dumbass child, she already got through just telling them damn fairies, oh, I'm through with vampires. I'm through with vampires.
Okay.
And then her ass is going to be looking longingly at Bill. Oh, give me a break. I'm so sick of her, I don't know what to do.
I thought that was good.
Oh, I thought it was stupid.
And I will tell you why. Okay, like she said, I know it's been a year for you since all this went down, even though he thought she was dead. That we'll get into that later. But she's like, but it's only been yesterday since you broke my heart and brought it up. And she starts crying a little bit. Just because she feels sad about it and cries about it and still, I mean, she's still going to love him. That doesn't mean she's going to go back to him.
First of all, that was some bogus dialogue, and I tell you why. And that's because, just for the reason you said, even though it's been a year for him but only a day for her, she would have still been mad. Shoot.
Sure.
Oh, hell yeah, she would have been mad.
Yes.
Oh, please. But see, I already knew I was going to be irritated when Jason asked her, what time is it? And she said, oh, and she ran out on the porch. I thought, you dummy. Oh, that made me mad. Anyway, I hope they do something better with her this season.
She was still angry. But the bottom line is, you're angry, but you still have those feelings inside. Now, what struck me about that scene, and I liked it. I thought the scene made sense.
It didn't.
Because even though you're angry and you're hurt about whatever that person did, you still have those feelings in until you get over it. And obviously, you know, that's the process that she's going to have to go through. What cracked me up about that scene was when she kind of teared up and her voice was shaking and breaking, he just looked at her and was like, okay, I get it. I'm fine and okay. The thing is, you're safe. He basically just dismissed it.
Well,
which
yeah.
I was like, this is so effing true to life.
Mm-hmm.
Because in men do that shit. Let me just put it that way.
Wow.
And whoever was writing that right. You know, she's all broken up and emotional and trying to get her point across to him that she still has the feelings, blah, blah,
blah. I didn't take it like that.
But he was like, okay, all right. Well, the main thing is that you are safe and I'll just be going.
Well, right. She repeated that.
Right. And when she was like, oh, well, it was abrupt to her. The way that he was just like, okay,
well,
I'm fine. Let me just go on.
Well, first of all, I didn't put any importance to that because it had been a year
for him.
Mm-hmm. That's why. And we find out later from the little Bellflower woman, the Portia girl, that, you know, well, he sure hadn't been thinking about you for you know, all this time.
He has been, though.
Well, but anyway,
which is why when she landed back in the cemetery with her granddaddy,
mm-hmm.
him and Eric woke up because they felt her.
Well, yeah,
and he.
She has both their blood.
Right. What I'm saying is, as soon as they could, they both rushed over to see. So obviously, he still feels for her. He probably ain't talking about it.
So this is what I want to know. Then, if her ass would have kept her ass in the house, then Eric would have been the only one who could go in there.
Right, but neither one went in the house.
That's because she was outside.
Well,
if she would have stayed in the house, Bill couldn't have went in there because it wasn't his house. And he couldn't go in there
without
an invitation.
Well, he probably could have because Eric owns the house and he owns Eric, or he is above Eric. So he probably could have.
Hmm.
And it's you know. Now, whether Bill knows that Eric owns the house and bought the house, we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know that. So, well, she couldn't rescind the invitation anyway because he, you know, she doesn't own the house.
Well, now, this is another thing, too. Let's stay on Sookie. When she's up there in Fairyland and she's trying to tell her granddaddy in her mind, hey, don't eat that. That's a trap. Well, of course, Claudine and everybody else can hear your ass.
Well, she didn't realize that.
You know?
That.
I mean,
she doesn't know anything about fairies. Now, we know from us having the story that probably the reason she's got this ability is because she's part fairy. But mm-hmm. she doesn't know that that's why she's got it. She's just always had it. It's just nothing to her. To her. And Jason doesn't have it, and he's part fairy too. I mean, so she didn't know that they would hear all that those thoughts that she was sending to her granddaddy. Mm. I like that scene now that I've watched it a couple times. That woman playing the queen fairy or whatever freaked
me. Her name's Mob.
Mob, whatever. She freaked me out.
Well, it kept going from her little spiky teeth to regular teeth, then her spiky teeth, then the regular teeth. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, so like her little hologram is like a fading out or something.
And every once in a while, her voice would get. I like that scene where she's like, oh, have you tried the Lumiere fruit? And Sookie was like, no, I haven't. Well, why don't you? It's really good. Well, I don't want any. Well, I think you should. That little exchange to me, I liked it.
Because her voice was going in and out. And then
Sookie back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So. The Lumiere fruit.
Lumiere fruit.
Lumiere fruit kept them thinking they was in this little paradise
thing.
However, I think all of the fairies together created that little illusion. And when Sookie used her little light power and zapped that queen or leader or whoever, that energy dissipated all of that.
I guess
because they was throwing balls of fire, light and shit at each other. You know? They was. They go get her. Oh, and Claudine was ugly as shit.
Wait, so was Claude.
No, Claudine too.
Well, I know.
Yeah, but all of them. But when they start running and throwing them balls of fire, light, and I'm thinking, well, damn.
Well, I know, because I'm thinking, what if they really blew her ass up? That little mob lady would have been pissed. Mob, whatever her name is.
But you know what? I did like the scene with the Claude. And too bad the other little guy helping Claude got zapped, though. But he gone. I did like that scene because just that little short scene, it seemed to me, told me a whole lot. First of all, he's Claudine's brother.
Yeah.
And he and a whole bunch of the other fairies want to go back and forth to the Earth realm and stuff. He said, cause that's our right. But she wanted to close it off.
Yep.
And what she mean by harvesting folk?
Well, he said the crown wants to close it off, which must be like their higher power
or
whatever.
But the mad woman said, it's time for harvest.
She said, we have been sowing the seeds of humans for centuries, and now it's time for us to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all those fairies have their own, because as you saw throughout that crowd, there would be a fairy with a real person with real clothes on.
Right.
So all those fairies are watching over their individual people.
Mm-hmm.
And so since they've been watching over those people, now they want to bring those people to their world so they can quit going back to Earth, is what I took from it.
Yeah. Me too.
And so that's the interesting part. I love what you talked about in the preview when Sookie said, you're my fairy godmother? Well, you suck.
Well, you're suck.
Because I could have been
using your ass. Did you see Claudine's face, though? She was like, well, you're still alive, aren't you?
She's like, it ain't easy, the trouble that you get into.
Ain't it the truth, though? Shoot, I swear. But I want to know. I hope Lil Barry made it, though.
I think so, because it looked like to me, well, it was jumbled, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of those fairies were trying to help their people. Look, you can't have been their fairy godparents or whatever the hell. Now, it was weird when Barry said, this is my fairy godmother, and it was a male fairy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was strange. I would rather him say fairy godfather.
Well,
I don't know. That was weird to me.
That was a little weird, but
I have a feeling that they all were trying to get their people to their portal. Now, what I want to know more importantly is, did they all die? Now, her granddaddy, Earl, had been there for 20 effing years eating that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Barry just took two bites of the fruit, would that make him die? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. However, Claude told her, did you eat the fruit? And she just got there. So
she said, no. Oh, and that looked at, oh, that was funny. When he said, did any of you eat that fruit? And she looked at him, and she kind of, I don't know what she did with her face, her eyes, but it was funny. She kind of looked, Sookie. Looked at him and was like, I didn't, but he did.
Yeah.
And the way she kind of looked him up and down, I don't know, that struck me, and I just was laughing. And he's like, okay, then only you can go.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that means, I guess that means anyone who took any bite of that fruit would die when they go back to Earth through the portal. A portal.
Well, I didn't take it like that. What I took it was that only she could go through safely because that Mab was doing her shit. She was closing it up. And while she was closing it up, who knows what else was happening with that little portal thing.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way I took it. And, you know, since Granddaddy Earl already knew he had been there 20 years and his wife Adele had died and everything, he was ready to go.
He just found out.
Well,
no, he said when they got there, I just had to make sure you made it back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she said, what's the matter, when he was coughing and stuff, and he's like, well, I'm dying. I can feel it because I ate that fruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, this is what I found strange about that whole dropping out the sky shit. And that is, Sookie landed on her knees from falling down, and she didn't go, ouch, nothing.
Oh,
she
goodness.
Was dead. Oh, no. That was jarring to me. And I even rolled it back, and I said, well, damn. And here he is. He done fell all on his back and rolling.
Well, he's dying. Shit.
Well, but still, she
and she did fall.
She should have went ow or something.
Oh, good grief! She did. She did oof something.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway,
oh, crazy.
Hey, she's just getting on my nerves.
But this is okay. But I do. I'm happy with how they had time pass.
Yes.
Between last season and this season.
That was very smooth.
I love the way they did that.
Very smooth.
And when Jason, and you kind of knew something was up when she walks back to the house,
mm-hmm.
and it's all pretty.
Ooh, first thing I thought was, ooh, that Marianne shit is all
gone. She walked in the door and the wallpaper was all nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because even as far as the finale, when Tara and her was eating in
that
kitchen,
still nasty.
It was still nasty. The walls and stuff were.
Yes.
And so I was so happy
it
how they
really
explained
nice.
The time difference.
Mm-hmm. And I am really glad that they did something constructive with Jason.
Well,
other than them hotshot shits.
Yeah.
But he the sheriff. And
no, he's not the sheriff.
Well,
Andy is still the
sheriff. He's a deputy, but he keeps Andy in check, though,
well,
which I found
he has to because Andy
hilarious.
Is a druggie now.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was, see, I knew he was going to take that V mm-hmm. when he was sitting there looking at
that broke arm.
Well, when
he came running
arm.
Up to the house and he was all upset,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, he high on something.
He was extraordinary. But that was funny when he was saying, well, where the hell you been then? He said, shit, we done drug the lake.
And
we had
everything.
People out for you, and I lost my plaque. You owe me a plaque.
He was irate.
He was hot.
But see, I knew something was up with Bill, though, because when he took and he said, look, you know, I'll come by
I had
in the morning.
Her working on vampire
right.
business.
Secret business that I couldn't, you know, tell anybody. And
that
I'll
was
come,
our first clue right,
right
there.
I'll come by in the morning and give a full statement and everything just as soon as you, you know, release a statement that shows,
I didn't kill her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That was hilarious, though. But it was one of the funniest scenes in the whole thing for me was Jason and Andy in the patrol car and Jason demanding to know, okay, where's that B? And Andy, I ain't got no more. I just took
Stanley,
a drop.
Stanley looking
yeah,
up.
I only took one drop earlier today, and he's looking around all guilty and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason finally finds it, and he goes, you ain't
you
got
out
none now.
Now. Yep. You out now.
I loved that scene. That was really, really
now
good.
Now, that little chin rat that Jason's got guts to go. That little piece of fur he got on his chin.
Oh, that little goatee thing? Yeah. Ugh,
I don't like it.
He need to shave that off because that's mm-mm. Yeah, I don't like that either.
Like it.
I don't like it. But Andy,
I did like the fact that they have him as a real cop now. So obviously, throughout this time, he's buckled down and got serious. And I like that they showed him showing concern for Sookie and being so happy that she was back. And I really love that scene when he's bringing the hot chocolate in the room and they're just watching, and she's watching TV. And they're just sitting there talking. I like that part.
Yeah.
And he was saying, when he told her, you know, this is the happiest I've been in a while, and I just don't want to.
No, he didn't say a while. He said my whole life.
In my whole life, yeah.
And I thought that was so sweet,
That was sweet.
Because he was telling her.
He was by himself.
Well, he was telling her all the stuff they did. He said, we thought he killed you. Oh, this was cracking me up. And he says, well, we thought Bill killed you, or that other one,
crazy
that real
tall one.
That crazy tall one.
Yeah.
Talking about Eric, I said, "Oh no, he didn't call him
crazy tall one."
That was funny. That was funny though. But Andy, okay.
Andy done lost his shit.
Andy has lost his ever loving mind.
So that tells you over the course of this
year, he ate up
all that V that they had taken from Hot Shot.
And they had a whole plastic bag full, a zip bag.
Yeah, that Lafayette or whoever they had gotten it from in last season. He had
They got it from that fool that took Crystal, remember? Because they tied him up to a tree. And put that V on it.
They had all... He has went through all that V.
He's addicted.
Yep.
And then when he ran up on Lafayette in the diner, talking about, undercover purposes, but I need some V.
And you could see Lafayette wanted to do something, but he's because, you know, Lala don't take that kind of shit. Can we move on to Lala and Jesus?
Okay, let's talk about Lafayette and Jesus. Lafayette is, now, first of all, I can't stand this goddamn mohawk they got, the mohawk they got on him.
It's fine.
It's ugly.
Well, I mean, it's not the best hairstyle, but at least it's something.
Oh, it's awful.
And it keeps us from having the do-rags that cover his whole head. Now, he still has his little scarf.
Yeah,
he
does.
Or his, whatever you call the bandana thing. But
he does.
It's cute. He is so cute. I just love him.
He is really cute, though.
And when him and Hayes, I mean, the magic to me, the chemistry was back right away. Because as soon as they get out of the car and they're walking up and he's like, 5 minutes. 10 if they got drinks.
Yeah.
That, to me, just summed up the whole thing of what I liked about them.
Yeah, but see, I think that even though Jesus didn't know the entire extent of what Marnie, the head witch, wanted to do, but he knew that they wanted
to...
He knew... We're not going scene by scene.
No.
We're just talking about characters. But he knew that they wanted Lafayette in that little coven group. He knew that.
No, I think Jesus really didn't know all that.
I think he did.
No, what Jesus wants Lala to do... This is the point with him, I think. Jesus, his whole entire life, has been taught this. And trying to get to where Lala could get in just one take.
Quit calling him Lala.
I can call him
Lord
whatever I want to.
Have mercy.
Jesus has spent his whole life trying to have the amount of magic or reach the amount of magic that Lafayette has just without even trying. So what Jesus it's Jesus's dream to have this magic at the ready. And so now that he knows that Lafayette does have this from last season, and now that he knows that Lafayette has it and can channel it and can get it, he's like all excited for Lafayette to experience it. Well, Lafayette didn't want to. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't care to have that in his life. He's scared by it. Jesus is not. He's been looking for that his whole life to me. So in my mind, I think he's really trying to get Lafayette to see the excitement in it that he feels and the love of it that he feels. But that's why Lafayette's resisting. He doesn't want to. And so I think he's doing it from a good place. He's like, look, let's try this. And if once you get your full potential going, you're going to love it. And I think that's what all he's trying to do. Now, he didn't know that Marnie chick was going to pull some shit. Hey, none of them knew that she was going to pull that shit. They thought she was just going to do this little thing to help his little bird spirit go on to the other realm. And when she turned and looked at she scared me for a second. The way her face was all twisted up, I said, ooh, don't hold hands. And as soon as they did, it looked like they was all, like, frozen. Now, what do you think about the bird when it flew up dying?
Well, first of all, are you done?
Sure.
See, that was a long old rant. Are you done? Okay. First of all, I disagree. I do not see it like you see it. I do not see Jesus as just wanting to develop it into... I think he has ulterior motives. I think he's always had an ulterior motive. He was a part of that coven group or whatever you want to call it, the little cult. That's what Lafayette calls it. Way before Lafayette. Because, and for me, the clue was, as soon as they came in the door, Katie jumps up and Holly jumps up. Oh, I've been trying to get him to come and you finally got him to come. And the Katie girl says, oh, this is the one I've been hearing about, you know?
Well, yeah, now, know he's been with the group.
But that's my opinion. That's what I think. I do not think, yes, everybody in that little group was surprised at the little chant that Marnie was doing. However, they were not surprised, it seems to me, at least the Katie girl obviously was not surprised that Lafayette was the one, because she immediately ran and told Bill. And I think the whole reason why she was there in that little group is to feed that information. That's my opinion. That for whatever reason, just like Bill was... spend all that time at he claims at Sophie Ann's direction trying to get Sookie, then he has somehow he wants the witch for lack of a better word, witch who has a certain type of power, and that's why that girl's in that group. I think that
now,
Katie girl monitoring to see okay who's it going to be, or you know, where is it going to be, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you about, okay, Jesus was part of that group. Holly and the Katie girl, you know, yes, they did say, oh, you brought him. I'm sure in that group he's like, oh, my boyfriend and me had this experience. I want to bring him to the group. But I don't feel like it's ulterior yet. I haven't gotten that vibe.
Because Lafayette...
Now, that Katie chick, definitely.
Well, she's planted there reason. See,
or he procured her because, you know, Bill used to be a procurer. So
yeah.
He took her from the group and said, hey, if you see anybody with some good powers, let me know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he did it purposely because Lafayette or Jesus was involved, or if he just had her in there to see what comes up.
And since now that I think about those, since Bill is, since Bill is also has dealings with Portia, then maybe he does know that Eric owns the house. Because I didn't believe that Portia when she was telling Sookie, well, it's a company and stuff, and, you know, I really couldn't find it. I just didn't believe that, what she was telling Sookie.
Oh, I think that's true.
I didn't believe it.
They haven't said, so I won't say...
Don't be saying...
Portia is supposed to be...
Don't be doing that.
But based on her name, you know, she's related to Andy.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's Balfour.
And
yeah.
I think they said this, but, somebody can correct me if they can write in. If they said that on the show, who the Balfours are in relation to, people in the town. So, I don't know if we've said that or not.
Didn't Bill go through that when he was talking to the Adele's group?
I think
when
so.
When she invited him. Yeah, he went through that, but I've since forgotten, though. But he went through the Bell Floors and
so he's related,
the mayor's family.
Right. So in the books, at least, and maybe they're not going to I don't think this is a spoiler or anything. So if it is, I'm sorry, but y'all gonna listen to it anyway. I'm gonna say it. But in the books, at least, and I think the same holds true. I think you're right. I think in the first season, he did mention that distantly related to the Belfleurs.
Right.
That his sister, cousin, somebody, one of his children married, I think, you know, because his son died, but he also had a daughter.
Right.
And I think she married a Belfleur. So deep down in the relation, he's related to Andy and Portia. Mm-hmm. Several generations away.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if she would have known for sure that Eric... I don't even know if Bill really knows that Eric bought that house.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe
not. If he put it under so many layers and created this new company and everything...
Yeah.
It's possible that nobody knows that.
That's true. Okay, so back to Lafayette.
But Bill is suspect.
Right. But back to Lafayette. You know, when Marnie was channeling Eddie... That was the first meeting.
Oh, that was so funny. Good.
But you know what? I could see where Lafayette... I was really surprised when Lafayette said to Jesus, you told them. Yes. Because what surprised me was that Lafayette told Jesus in the first place. Well, that just surprised me. Well, I had a source.
Because we remember in season, when they first met and Jesus was trying to date him and Lafayette... and. They got beat up. Remember?
But he didn't tell him about that. He did not tell him specifically.
No, not on the show. But what I'm saying is when he was explaining to Jesus that he dealt in V blood and Jesus was all upset.
Right.
I'm sure there was a conversation later over this past year.
Well, obviously.
About how he did it and all this stuff. But what I liked about that scene.
I was surprised he told him.
Freaked out. Well, first of all, when he walked over to that Marnie lady and said, take this flower. Mm-hmm. And she started doing that.
No, she grabbed his hand.
No, before she grabbed his hand, and she was doing when he first walked over there, and Holly was like, do you know it, Edith or Eddie? And she started doing that. He immediately, go back and watch it. He immediately took like two steps back. Was like,
I know.
What the hell wrong with her?
I know it. I know it.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny. That's funny. And when she said, take this rose, he said, why? I want a rose. You know, that's what Eddie started talking.
Oh, well, that was kind of, I know, but it was kind of sad too, because when she said Eddie, and he was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but it's okay. They drained me, Lafayette, but it's okay. Cause I got to share a glass of Merlot with you.
I know, that was
cute.
And
that was just like Eddie to say he just wanted to spend time with Lafayette. He didn't care that he was being used and this and that. He just wanted to spend that time.
And so,
made me miss Eddie all over again.
I know, I liked Eddie.
I did too.
And see, I never liked that Amy chick. I never liked that broad. Ooh, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I never liked her.
Yeah.
I just never liked her. But what I was going to say is, what do you think the purpose was for Marnie to do that little incantation to make the bird come alive only to be flopped down dead, you know, 2 seconds later?
I think ultimately her goal was to really see what Lafayette's power was.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
But
yeah.
I think at
and
first...
And she used the little bird.
Right. I think she really did... Because she said, this is my... You know, she was saying, this is my... What'd she call it? My sign of life or
but
my...
But she said, this is my familiar.
My familiar. That's exactly what she said.
And so, all and witches have a familiar.
She was upset about it being dead. And I think she wanted to bring it back to life. Mm-hmm. But I think she really wanted to see how he could... His energy... could help channel whatever she was trying to channel.
Yep.
And as soon as he joined their hands, they all were immediately like, ugh. So he had whatever she needed to finish that spell. And I think now she's like, oh shit, what could I just need to tweak my spell a little bit now and use him to channel whatever I want to do.
I think
that's what her main goal was.
That's what I'm thinking. I think that's what's going to be coming.
And I have a feeling that even, I know what you're saying about Jesus, but I don't think he has ulterior motives. I think he really loves Lafayette.
I'm not saying
but
he doesn't
love him. I think what is happening is, like I said, he is so excited about this, And he's got this woman teaching him the power of witchcraft. And as his mentor, she's probably saying, oh, well, bring your boyfriend in. Oh, I'm really interested to hear about y'all's experience. Bring, you know, I have a feeling she might have been feeding him. Oh, well, yeah. And make, and
yeah, but that's suggestions. Just, you know, that's just your speculation.
And now that she sees the power that Lafayette has, honey, watch out. She gonna be really up
I
on
think,
him.
Jesus, I think we'll find out he had ulterior motives. Yeah. Okay.
Probably because this is the land of true blood and nobody
Let's move on to Miss Tara.
For long.
Let's move on to Miss Tara. Now, frankly, for me, I like what they did to Miss Tara. First of all, I was fascinated with her whole
demeanor
and her on-screen presence is just really, really compelling, I think.
Stop. And I love... Sister J, hold on real quick.
Okay.
Start with the hair.
Oh, well, first of all, now...
we ended with the hair.
Okay.
Start with the hair.
We gotta start with the hair.
Beautiful.
Okay. Now, I do like the fact that she got this long-ass weave on.
That's her hair, I think.
Well...
Because when you see Tina Wesley in interviews, even...
Right.
Past season.
But that's not her hair. You can tell by the front. Trust me. I know.
A lot of it's her.
A lot of it might be her hair, but all of it's not her hair.
I don't care if it's a weave or not.
It looks really nice. That's what I was trying to say. When you quit interrupting my ass. Anyway.
I'm going to interrupt you. Hello.
Anyway, her hair looks really, really nice, and it makes her look softer.
Yes.
But it also... Because we know what she went through. To me, it makes her a little more sinister, too. And I love the fact that she is doing what she's doing. She is fighting in a cage, Rick.
Well,
in a cage match. I think it's perfect.
That sinister comment when she was fighting and won.
Yeah.
And she was doing that little laugh.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, was sinister.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, you know.
But I found it so interesting...
I think it's great.
Yeah, I like that part. I found it so interesting how she has changed her whole personality.
That's what Sam told her could be done.
He did.
He told her, oh, it's easy. And she says, well, does it ever catch up with you? He says, yeah, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you just go and do it again.
Yeah, then you just keep going.
So she done changed her name to Tony. She told this girl, her people from Atlanta. You know?
She said
and
her
they
daddy,
ain't close.
Her daddy, we ain't heard nothing about no daddy yet.
Yeah. But anyway, my favorite part.
Naomi.
Okay, Naomi. My favorite part is when Tara and Naomi is kissing out in the parking lot.
Yep.
Drunk comes up. But wait a minute. When after Naomi tells him off and he's still getting out of his $50, he said, well, hey. You know, he said, I want to see it. And she tells him, basically, I'm going to kick your ass. So he said, that's fine, because, you know, I want some of this chocolate and banana swirl.
Chocolate and banana swirl?
I was hooping and hollering.
Yes.
He said, I want some of that chocolate and banana.
No, he said banana.
He said vanilla.
No, he said banana.
He said chocolate and vanilla swirl.
I watched it with the words, and it said banana.
Oh, Lord.
But that was funny.
I died laughing.
That was
I
funny.
Could not
now,
believe
normally,
it.
Tara would have tore him up.
Yeah, but she didn't.
But she didn't.
Nope, she didn't.
And then her girlfriend, Naomi, was like, honey, I'm a tear you up. And Tara's like, No.
That was so funny. And then when her and Naomi was in the bed and her phone went off, I had to stop it so I could read what that message said because that scene went so quick.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, see, okay, she's trying to make it complete. We know she still cares about Sookie, but she, to me, she was just trying to make that whole thing complete, just like Sam has done. You know what I mean? Like pretending to be somebody else.
Oh, I don't see that. Well, that scene told me two things. When she got the text from Lafayette, it told me, okay, Lafayette lied to Sookie.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, I hear from her from time to time. I don't know what she's doing or where she's at. He has her number. He texted her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, even though she loves Sookie and she's probably like, oh, thank goodness she's okay and safe.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, but I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to keep up my story. Mm-hmm. That's my past, and I'm on my future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think she'll go back.
She will.
But, yeah. Because it was...
She'll have to.
It was just the way she said, oh, I'll just send some flowers. You know?
Well, when Naomi said, just, your dad texted you that your grandma died? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we don't get along.
But yeah, when everybody realizes Sookie is back and she's at Merlot's and, you know, Arlene and Terry are hugging her and stuff, and Lafayette hugs her, and so he said, let me get my hug in for my gumbo burn, you know, and that, I thought that was cute. And
but she was asking
about,
where's Terry at?
Did you see everybody split?
Terry was like, well, it's time to go. Arlene's like,
and they kind of split.
Yeah.
And especially since later on we find out that Lafayette lied, but at the moment he was telling her, well, you know, I get a card, and she was in New Mexico. She was, and he named three or four
Arizona,
places.
Yeah.
And then he says, and you know, from time to time, you know, I get a card from her. So, you know, next time I hear from her, then I'll let her know. So now we know he lied.
Yes, he showed in.
He lied, so.
And I liked it when she said, or I liked when he said, but she said, I can't believe Tara moved away. And he said, really? After all she's been through, you can't believe that?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, that's true. And I liked that they acknowledged it.
Well, and not only that, but see, I thought that was a real good response from Sookie, because as you pointed out, she thinks it's been a couple weeks.
A day.
Well.
It's only been a day.
Right. She thinks that, yeah, that's what she thinks, but it's been 12 and a half months.
Yeah.
So, you know. Anyway. But yeah, I like what they're doing with Tara, though. I like that.
At first it makes perfect sense to me. It was jarring, but I was like, no, this is true.
It makes perfect sense. She got all that anger and stuff in her. That's the best outlet for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And then, of course, she would swear off men for a while, it seems to me.
And
go to a woman.
Well, not just that part, but, and she changed herself in that she has that outlet for her anger and stuff in the ring.
Yep.
But on the outside, she's not letting that come out.
Just like Sam.
Just like Sam. Caged all that shit up. Although, talking to Sam.
Yeah, let's get on Sam.
Obviously, he ain't doing so well with that.
I know. He says, I need a few more anger management classes.
And what the shit? Okay, hold on.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I said Sam, but wait a minute. What the F is going on with Maxine Fortenberry?
Oh, you want to get to that? But okay, let's
talk. What the hell?
Okay.
What the hell is going on?
I think.
What I hope is happening, what I hope is not happening.
Okay, wait. I think Sunday's episode, we'll probably find out a little bit of that. But this is what I think. Because I refuse to watch the HBO Go beforehand, because I don't want to watch them beforehand. But anyway,
I just haven't had a chance to do it yet. But we haven't watched the second episode yet.
No.
So we haven't seen it. So we're not going to comment on it.
No,
we'll have a separate podcast for that.
Yeah. But, and that's the reason why I'm not going to watch it early, because I just don't want. Anyway, but I think this is probably maybe what happened. My theory is this. When Sam shot Tommy and Lee, and of course he probably, you know, went to the hospital and all that stuff, then I think, until we haven't got to Hoyt yet either, and Jessica, but I think because Hoyt has told them, look, if you don't want Jessica, then you can't be in my life, then she calls herself, some kind of way, Tommy and Maxine Fortenberry got together because Tommy needed a place to stay. And he probably didn't want to stay in Sam's little apartment
he couldn't
anymore. But I'm sure he was mad at Sam, too.
Basically,
obviously, Sam is paying for all of his care.
Right.
Like, as far as medical care and therapy and stuff, because he probably feels guilty that he shot the boy. See?
And she just picked him up as a replacement Hoyt.
A replacement Hoyt. Got him praying and everything.
Slick down hair.
He looked like Howdy Doody.
Preppy. But I will say this. Them biscuits with the hot sauce on look good, did it?
Biscuits. And Arlene jumped to it. But when she started putting that hot sauce on there, I thought, oh, Lord.
That looked kind of good to me.
Hey, I like hot sauce, but not on no bread.
Mm-mm. I have never tried it, but next time I have some biscuits, I'm going to try it.
Oh, Lord, no. Mm-hmm. You go right ahead.
But I hope that's what it is, and not... it has to be that it's someone else for her to dote on.
Oh, absolutely.
And she have in her life, since Hoyt is obviously gone. And when he told Jessica, she's dead to me, then that's what he meant. And so she's, you know, right. She got
to... Well, we haven't talked about that part yet.
Oh, you want to go on to Jessica and...
Well, no, I ain't through with Tommy yet.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway... Okay, what was cracking me up was when she came into Merlot's fussing about it's not handicap accessible. Then you see Tommy with this big-ass brace thing on his leg, all the way up to his thigh.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, Lord. But you know what? I can't figure out. I guess because Tommy had such a bad upbringing with his parents, then... I guess that's why he's went way off left to the other way.
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think he really even likes this lifestyle. I think it's just what he's doing to get by because he don't have nothing else. He don't have a job.
That's true.
He don't have medical insurance.
That's true.
He's milking that shit like he's milked everything else that he's been taught to do in his life.
They
didn't educate him when he was growing up. They fought him. His parents did for money.
Yeah, we know that.
And they would, like, grift to whoever. So I think he's just biding his time and using her loneliness and kindness to live free, eat free, whatever he can do. That's what I think. I think in a moment's notice, if he wanted to or got tired of it, he would get up and go on.
And this is what I thought. How come he got that big-ass brace on... 12 months later. So he must be permanently handicapped then.
No, I doubt it.
It's not going to take no 12 months.
I mean, it depends on where he got shot. If it caused some issues where he's had to have surgeries or if it hit a bone, yeah, you still have a brace on your leg. Now, I have a
12
feeling...
12 months later.
I have a feeling that he's milking that shit because, like I said, that's what they do.
That's true.
He's probably milking it. So, like when Sam said, how's that therapy going? He said, I think I need to go some more.
Yeah, he said, I need 2 or 3 more months.
See? And then he said, that's time that he don't have to be working.
And then he says, well, how's the anger management going for you? He says, I think I need a few more sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But now, okay, getting to Sam, man, I thought he was going to start fussing at Sookie when he was standing there.
He was going to, but...
Because he was looking mean.
Yep.
He was looking real testy.
Well, he cares about her.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be testy if a friend of yours
You'd
went missing
mad.
A year and came out and goes, oh, I was just off on business. Now, we know it wasn't true, but they don't know that. You'd be like, well, bitch, then why didn't you say something? Why didn't you call somebody? Shit. And you know the whole town has drug lakes.
Oh, yeah.
And put your ass on the news.
Yeah.
And done manhunts and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to just pop up and say, hey, I was just gone. We're some vampire business. No, that's not good enough.
I can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I'd be pissed. I probably wouldn't even talk to him.
Well, I thought it was really telling about his different relationship with Sookie now when he says, well, you can work part-time. Arlene and Holly got kids, so they're going to be working shifts. So all he's giving her is part-time.
Because he's mad.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he could do.
But
and
now,
she
okay,
just sat there
with
and
Sam,
like, okay.
Okay, I'm liking these new people that he's with.
Yes.
And especially Luna, the girl.
Yeah.
She is really cute. But I love that whole scene. And, you know, when it first started, I thought, oh, great, because at least he got some friends, you know, to talk to.
Well, see, I didn't think of it as friends at first. And then as it went on, I was like, okay, yeah, they're just at a dinner party. I thought it really was a little group to get together to talk about anger issues.
No, I thought
but
it was friends.
As they panned out and they showed dinner and they're all talking with each other and laughing, I'm like, okay, yes.
But when they said, okay, well,
shifting buddies.
Yeah, we don't want any more. We don't want another bottle of wine. Let's go on and get to it. And they start taking off their clothes.
I know.
I thought,
oh, shit.
I thought, oh, they're going to all shift to some dogs, right? Oh, it was awesome when they come out of there and they're all horses.
I know.
Just running. Oh, I love that scene.
That was cute.
And I felt so happy for him.
Yeah.
I really did because I like Sam. So I thought that was an excellent scene.
That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm. But I like that whole thing, the whole little dinner party and stuff. But I did feel really glad for him that he's got some friends to talk to. You know.
Oh, yeah. And fellow so, shifters that he can be himself yes, and not...
he can be himself.
Repress it. And that's probably why he's so angry all the time. He's always repressing some shit.
So, yeah, I like what they're doing with Sam, too.
Yeah.
So, I like that, too.
Okay, so now do we want to get to... Well, first, let's talk about Arlene and Terry and this baby Mike.
Oh, no! That is the cutest little
that baby.
Baby.
And oh, how did they get him so just cute. To sit there and look at her like, what the hell are you
I
talking
know.
About? But when she came in and all them doll heads was torn off, I was like, oh, hell.
Uh-huh. But you know what?
Okay, that's a little
now.
Too obvious, y'all. Oh,
okay, now, but hey, I agree with Arlene. First of all, a baby that little is not going to be pulling no heads off no doll. He is awful little.
Yeah.
So that's
they're trying
why,
to make that point.
Right. They're trying to make that point. So I don't blame her. I would have been a little perturbed too because.
But Terry is also right because he's like, hey, I used to make different creatures out of
oh, Terry, crazy.
He said, is now.
I used to take the head off a lizard and put it on a squirrel and make different animals.
Meant,
oh, hell no.
He meant his toys, not real animals.
Oh, hell no.
And Terry was not crazy then.
Well, anyway, I agree with Arlene. Something wrong with the baby.
Cute when she picked him up and he said,
oh,
okay,
he was
baby,
so
Mikey,
cute.
Killing is wrong.
When Terry said, well, but you don't have nothing to worry about because, you know, he's got part of you in him and you're good. And she said, it's not my half I'm worried about.
Right.
I was dying laughing. But that little baby is so cute.
He was cute.
So cute.
Okay, so Jessica and Hoyt.
Oh, my goodness. I could not believe their opening scene. It was too funny.
It was funny.
It was too
funny. I have
funny.
To say, Jessica, the girl playing her, was cute. She's looking
she
good.
She is so cute. She really
and Hoyt
is.
And Hoyt was looking good, too.
But yeah.
He's so damn big. You don't realize it until... He's standing next to her. How mm-hmm. damn big he is.
Yeah, when Pam said, oh, you mean that tree with the plaid shirt on?
He's got a name.
Okay, anyway.
But as you can see, they are through with the honeymoon lovey-dovey.
Oh, yeah. Stage. They done settled into like a couple of them, you
yeah.
know.
Ooh, but I liked Lord. It when he said, do you think you sucking blood out of me? It was not disgusting at first. He said, yeah, I deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, she could make him something.
She could make him something, but what she did was awful. Oh, you want some eggs?
And him trying to prove that point. Like, okay,
and that's when she said, oh, you want me to stir you up some eggs just like your mama? And he says, you know my mama's dead to me. Don't be bringing her up. Remember? And that's
well,
when we realized.
She said, this is the thing that we don't know yet, but she said, and if she had better aim, I'd be a pile of goo.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now that's what we, okay, that's what I wanted to talk about. When we last saw Maxine, she was in that gun shop,
yep.
had bought that rifle.
Yep.
So that means that she went either to the house or to Jessica's house or Bill Compton's house and tried to shoot that girl.
Something.
She shot at her.
Something.
Because she did make that statement.
Yep,
you are
did.
Right. She did make that
yep.
statement.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Uh-huh.
What old Maxine was doing?
Hey, well, she said there are consequences, remember?
Yep.
You'll have some consequences, so. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of that, of last season, he was not to the point where she was dead to him. So
not
there's
yet.
Been something else. That was yep. our hint that whatever she tried killing Jessica, he's now like, okay, fuck her.
Yep, she dead
she's
to me.
Language, y'all. She is
yeah,
dead to
you talking looking at me when I said GD.
Well, GD is a little bit much.
No. Oh, and you don't think the F word is?
No, it ain't really.
Oh, please. Well, hey, well, you know, we know you got a potty mouth. Anyway,
y'all love it.
I did like to see Jessica and Hoyt, and when they went to Fantasia, that was really cute, too.
Yeah.
That was
well,
really cute.
It wasn't cute,
oh, she gonna chomp up that mat, though.
When he came up to her, I was like, boy,
you just don't know. And she looking
if
at
she
that little vein in his neck.
If she wouldn't have been with Hoyt,
she would have chomped him
she
up.
She would have chomped him.
Drained his butt.
And it was so funny, Pam watching her the whole time, like, I know what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
She's like, you know... You ain't meant for monogamy and only eating one person's blood and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. Pam is so...
I love her.
Pam is
love.
So tough. Okay, well, when we first see Pam...
Love. You see her in her little suit, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved it because she's back to dressing in her little props and stuff.
Proper,
but,
proper.
Hey, she shall can't give no commercial, though.
Oh, that was funny. She's like, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, it's safe. Mm-hmm.
But that was good with the Eric, though. Okay.
Oh, when he came in there and sat down and started talking, I was like, sold.
I know.
You don't have to say anything else.
Yeah. He said, okay, roll it. Action. And he just started.
Why would you trust a politician over a vampire? Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to be humans.
And I like the way they did that with Bill Compton dedicating that old folks home.
Yes.
You know, back and forth like that. That was good. That was really good. Mm-hmm.
That his whole little speech was good. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. He said, who are you going to trust, us or a politician?
He says, and we'd like all the humans to feel free to come down to Fantasia, but not for dinner or something like that. That was so cute.
That was good.
That was cute. That was real cute. Yeah, Eric's my fave, other than Lafayette. Lafayette's my favorite still, but Eric, yeah.
And during that Bill speech at that nursing home, did you notice that it was a dedication, or they named it after his wife?
Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was funny. So, you know, apparently he's the king of Louisiana for the vampire side, but he's also trying to be in the regular world with humans.
Right. Well, and we can tell because Nan Flanagan was doing the commercial that the Vampire League... the American Vampire League, they have gained more clout and stuff then. You see what I'm saying? Because she was doing that commercial for humans. Yeah. See? Yeah. So, you know, so that part, since Russell's out of the picture, has progressed too. So evidently, they have been able to talk themselves out of what Russell did on live TV and stuff. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, talk people into at least trusting them.
Well, like she said, humans are dumber than...
She did. She said, y'all, yeah, they dumb. Humans are real dumb. That was funny.
That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the whole episode.
I did. I liked the whole episode, but I was just really a little perturbed about Bill because only because I wanted him to suffer. Because he was a dog last season, you know.
He was.
And when we found out last season that he paid the rat trace to beat up Sookie so she could drink his blood, I thought, oh, see,
Well, No. I really don't think that was the case. He allowed it to happen, though. He allowed them to beat her because...
What Eric said was, oh, did he tell you he paid the rat trace to do that to you so you could drink his blood? And she looked at him and said, Bill, is that true? And he says something like whatever he said, but yeah, he confirmed it. That's what he said. So, you know, but anyway, be that as it may, that was last season.
I'll have
season,
to go back and see that and see.
You can do that.
But okay.
But so I liked it.
I did too. I really liked it. Okay, so what did y'all think? Let's get to some emails.
Okay.
It's from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
She says, well, I just watched the season opener, and in all honesty, I was not enthused. It was just flat to me. I think this whole skip-a-year thing meant they had to reintroduce each character or something, and it was tiresome. I think True Blood needs to get warmed up, and it will get better as the season goes along. At one point, I looked at the clock like, geez, is it going to be over soon? Oh. That is not a good sign. I did think it was cool that Gary Cole had a part as Sookie's grandfather. I also about fell out of my chair when Fiona Shaw appeared. I had no idea. I think of her as a Masterpiece Theater type of actress, and then she was great as the awful Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies. Good grief, did she ever look different? Okay, on to episode 2, Terry.
Well, thanks, Terry, for that email. Fiona Shaw must be Marnie, because Marnie was in the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's talking about the Marnie character.
The witch. Mm-hmm. She was good.
She was very good.
She had me convinced, and when she started doing that little convulsion and talking
she was
Eddie,
very
I was
good.
Like, okay, she's good.
But I didn't think the episode was flat at all. I was very interested, and I thought it flowed very, very well. I personally liked the fact that they showed each character, because all of the characters have a following. And we didn't really talk about Eric, but, you know, Eric...
We didn't see him much, really.
No, but the end scene, I mean, he's getting ready to bite him or something.
Yeah, I think he's just, you know, maybe just as Aaron. We know from the little cliffhangers they do each episode.
That's true.
Sometimes they're like fake outs. And
that's true.
Obviously, this one, he's meant to try to scare her a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. But I did not think it was flat. I thought it was good. I thought it was necessary for them, especially since there has been a year.
Yes.
To me, the time span was needed.
Yes.
In the fourth, I mean, we're now in the fourth season. Seasons 1, 2, and 3 are supposed to have happened back to back to back, and they're only taking the span of maybe a week, 2 weeks at the most.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of time for, or excuse me, that's not a lot of time for three whole seasons worth of work.
Exactly. So frankly, I'm glad too that they moved it forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It had to happen for people to heal, for people to change that same mindset from season one.
Yeah.
Because, we've had 3 seasons of that, and I think that's why we were kind of getting a little bit tired of seeing the same story. I mean, that's why I think a lot of people, when I talk to them about Sookie, and a lot of people can't stand her, like, why is she still whining about this, or why? Because it's only been maybe 3 months in total for all this stuff to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and
true.
I think they needed that time. Now, she hasn't had any time lapse, but everyone else has, so it's going to force her to make that leap, too.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that all of that stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
Or
me
passed through the time.
Me too.
Now, I haven't seen episode 2 yet. I'm looking forward to doing that. So, I agree. I think it'll get better and better each episode. And I'm hope, that we'll see more of our favorites, like Eric. I really want to see more of him. I want to see more of Jessica and Hoy and Pam, especially.
Yeah, me too.
So.
Okay.
All right. To our next email. He says, hello, sisters. My name is Paris.
Hey, Paris.
A guy from Alabama.
Ooh.
And I have been listening to the podcast since I found it on iTunes a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is by far the best True Blood podcast on the web.
Yay!
And I have to say, I love the name Paris.
Yeah.
Love it. I won't tell you why, because you might be insulted, but...
I think it's on our website, though.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
He goes on to say, you two do an amazing job, and I appreciate it. Now for the premiere. So much to say. I loved it. The fairies are revealed to be much more sinister than they let on in season 3.
Yep.
From what we saw, I think it's safe to say they were gathering their part, fey kin, to block off the doors to their world.
That's what you said.
I didn't say about the block off part.
Well,
they were trying to
harvest
them up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the opening sequence very much. I hope we see Barry again.
Me too.
I have to say that the next big surprise for me was seeing Jason walk into Sookie's house in a police uniform. All I could think was, damn, he was looking too good. It was nice to see him using his brain and taking the lead from Andy for once.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad it didn't last long. I could tell something was very different about Bill also.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed he'd stolen the crown of Louisiana. Still devious.
Yep.
Why do I get the feeling he's got some serious scheme up his sleeves?
Yep.
Speaking of which, I was really shocked to find out Eric had bought the house and gotten around the invitation problem.
I think that's good.
I'm curious to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Marnie as the head of the witches.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that she is going to be very dangerous if she keeps reaching out to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Pam, Jess, Hoyt, Sam, and Lala again was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the Tara storyline, I'm not sure what to think. I like that she is now a fighter, but I can't really wrap my head around her in a relationship. I agree with Sister K that I would have liked to see her dealing with the trauma she'd been going through without a love interest first, but I guess she'll be getting pulled back into the mess again before long. This was a good premiere. It's opened so many doors in this one alone. I can't wait. This season is going to be good, Paris.
Well, thank you, Paris, for that email. And, I disagree about Tara's relationship. I think it makes perfect sense because people like her and people who are always looking for something, think back to how she was raised in, around Letty Mae and stuff, then yeah, it would make perfect sense that she would be in a relationship. And to me, it makes perfect sense that this time around it would be a woman since she's had so much problems with, you know, her first man was a serial killer, you know, second one was a vampire who mistreated her.
Who was this first one?
Eggs.
Oh, but you know what? I don't count that as him being a serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
He was under the influence of Marianne, like they all were.
Well, we know that, yeah. But he still killed people.
Yeah, but that wasn't him.
And in her mind, he still is a serial killer.
No, she doesn't believe that.
And then Franklin, of course, and then Sam, who she did kind of halfway like, a shapeshifter. She just threw with him. So, yeah, I think her relationship makes perfect sense. So.
Well, that was the only thing he said he wasn't sure to think of
right.
it. But
I know.
Yes, thank you, Parrish, for the email. And I liked, now, you know, again, now that I've seen it a couple of times, I did kind of like what the fairy world scenes told us. And I really liked the fact that they went through each of our characters that we've known and showed us where they're at now. I really love that part.
I did, too, because, you know, each one of those characters has a lot of fans,
yep.
You know, and not just the stars of the show, Sookie and Bill. I mean, all the other characters have an equally large following. So I like the way they did it.
I do too. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Paris, for that email. Should I tell them where the word Paris? Why I like it so? First of all, I love this. I love the city. I want to visit the city of Paris one day, the real one in France.
Go ahead and tell them. Not the Paris, Texas. How come you love Paris so much?
There is a Paris, Texas, but I haven't been there, but it's a small little town. But I love the word Paris is because that is what I named my dog.
Your little pug.
So that's not an insult to you. It's just that I've loved that city and loved it so much I named my dog that, which mm-hmm. I love my dog so much. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway,
all right.
Thank you, Paris.
we got another email.
She's looking at me right now, too.
Oh, little Paris.
Yes, our next email is from Samantha.
Hey, Samantha.
She says, I cannot wait to hear your commentary on the show. You are my favorite True Blood podcast. I don't have a lot to say right now. I just wanted to add that I'm disappointed with Tara's character. Okay, how does she go from Sam and Jason and even to Eggs to lesbianism?
Because.
I'm really not feeling lesbian Tara. Nothing against gay people. They can do whatever they want with their lives, but Tara, gay, no, no. What is wrong with the writers? Lafayette is already gay, the only other black person on the show, and they lessen her character for me. I can see her kickboxing or whatever because she was always a scrapper, but getting busy with that woman. Sorry, but no. She is all over the map. She was a drunk, suicidal, demon-conjuring, anger-management-needing chick. Now throw this into the mix. I just don't know, y'all. What do you think about how the writers are portraying her? Samantha.
Well, thank you for that email,
Samantha.
And, you know, I disagree. As we pointed out on our podcast, I think it makes perfect sense for her. And just because she's now with a woman doesn't make her a lesbian. If anything, it would make her bisexual, I would think. But I think it makes perfect sense for her character. That doesn't mean that that's how she's going to be the whole season. But because she has created this whole new identity and she wants to get as far away from the terror of Bon Ton than she can, then to me it makes perfect sense. And because of her past history with, you know, male characters. What do you think?
You know, I think the writers did a good job because basically they're trying to show us how she has transformed herself into a new person.
A whole different person.
Basically like Sam, a shifter.
Yeah.
She shifted even though she doesn't have that ability.
That's
she
a good her analogy.
Whole, mm-hmm. Her whole life and her whole personality mm-hmm. and her whole of who she was as Tara. She's now Tony. And I think that's where what they're trying to show in her. And she doesn't even, I don't think, and, you know, it's not a marginalizing of her character or lessening of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so
It's just
either.
A different, it's what she's chosen to do
right.
to really transform herself into someone totally different from a different place with different values and life sets and everything. So
I did not get the impression at all that the writers were trying to make some kind of statement about, you know, black people, because both the characters are you know, have relationships with the same gender. To me, Tara's character, it makes perfect sense that she has created this new persona and she's carried it all the way, you know, all the way. Name, background, everything. So I like it.
I will say this, though, Samantha, that they need to have more people of color on the show, period.
Well, sure, because they just got
That's
them,
just
too.
Any show. And Jesus, the guy playing him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's it. And we need more. I mean, we need Asians. We need more Hispanic. I mean, they just need to have more diversity on the show. There's so many other characters that they could have in those spots. And
well, I watched it.
That's the complaint I have, though, with any TV show.
Right. Right, exactly. But I watched an interview on a talk show with Alfie Woodard and some of the interviewers, they are really big fans of True Blood. So they was trying to get her to give away some secrets. So they kept saying, okay, now, Ruby Jean, are you going to be back this season 4? And she wouldn't say. She says, well, she says, I'm still Lala's mother. That's what she said. Yeah. That's all she would say. So we're hoping Ruby Jean's back this season.
Yeah, I mean, we
season.
Need to see more Ruby Jean. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see Tara's mother, but maybe that's something that we'll see later when she comes back to town, because you know she's got to.
But Letty Mae is the bomb, though. We got to have Letty Mae back in there, because you know she probably done married. Hey, what you bet Letty Mae done kicked the preacher's wife out, and she is in there with the preacher?
Well, I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know.
Because she was dead on it.
We just need more diversity in any show.
Yeah, but that's all them shows.
That's all the shows.
You know.
Gay, straight, black, white,
whatever. Yeah.
So,
okay.
But thank you for the email. It brings up, you know, good thoughts.
Yep.
Okay, and our last email is from Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
She says, ladies, so glad to hear you. I was a Fringe fan, so I missed you when you didn't podcast last season.
Oops.
Luckily, I found your True Blood podcast and got all caught up for the new season. I've already seen the first 2 episodes, and I think we're in for a great time. Looking forward to more podcast sisters. Welcome back, Sabrina.
Thank you, Sabrina, for that email. And we just kind of fell off the track with our Fringe podcast. But sometime over the summer, though, we do hope to
catch it all up.
Catch it all up and do a really long episode recap of Fringe, because we did kind of just, you know, drop it. But anyway,
I think we're in for a good season, too. I mean, I always enjoy Lord, now you got me talking about Fringe. I always enjoy True Blood.
Yep.
And I'm always real excited for the season to start.
Me, too.
And now, I mean, you know, we're past the meat trees and we're past certain things that I hated. But overall, I hated pieces of it. I still loved the show overall. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm excited to watch the second episode.
Okay.
See how that is. Okay. Well, that's all the feedback we had. So if y'all have anything else to add or comments about the upcoming episode 2, please send us an email. You can do that at sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our website is sisterspeak. Oh, wait, no. Our website is sistersinterview.com.
Yes.
Sorry about that. We do have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast. And Sister J and I are both on Twitter @_SisterJ and _SisterK.
Yes.
And we also do have a voicemail line, which you can call and leave us a voicemail that we can play.
Yep.
972-692-7341. And if you do not want us to read your email or play your feedback, let us know and we will not do that.
Okay.
But if you don't say that, then we're going to read it.
Yeah, because we always read them.
We're going to read it.
Okay.
That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.